Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Janie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. Fantastic response to David Hamilton's interview last week. Thank you so much for listening. As you know, his book, The Little Book of Kindness, is out now. And if I'm not mistaken, he's going to be a guest on Chris Evans. Sadly, not part of our team at BBC Radio 2 anymore, but now at Virgin. Doing some really cool interviews there. Got to hand it to him. Someone on Instagram picked up on David's tip in the last podcast, by the way, of striking the power pose when we're feeling anything less than confident. And she used a great pick of Superwoman. And it is just such a simple trick, of a way of kind of tricking your brain into thinking you got this. Just adapt a certain posture. Really easy. So it is our month of love for February, but we're focusing on self-care and self-love throughout this month, and all of my guests will support that in some way. I've been thinking a lot, you know, myself about self-care while interviewing some of these cool people, and really I do think some, you know, changes are afoot. So watch this space. I definitely resonated with David's self-care tip last week of being able to say no. That really is an act of kindness to yourself, but I'd still love to hear your suggestions too, big or small. Use the hashtag stay dry till July. Make sure you follow me on Instagram. It's at Janie Lee Grace. And of course, you can share your stories or drop us a tip at janie@janieleegrace.com. And of course, all the recommendations, must remind you, all of my holistic living stuff that I talk about is at imperfectlynatural.com. And I think some of you know I'm working with a charity, a small charity who help people in need with healthy food called My Yard. And we're planning an event, a free meetup in London's East End, a really cool venue. And I think we're pretty much nailed down to the date of Monday, March the 11th, 2019. So pop that date in your diary. Watch out for the Eventbrite links on social media. And, you know, one of the things that has come out with all these interviews that I've been doing and all the conversations I've had has been the importance of mindset, and just how much, how big a part the subconscious mind plays. Now, of course, this is the case in absolutely everything we're trying to win over. And this week I was a guest myself on a podcast that comes out in a few weeks' time, I think. It's called Prosperity Kitchen, and it's aimed at people with businesses. And I was asked to speak on the topic, facing your fears of speaking in public. I do quite a lot of media coaching, so I gave my insights into the importance of preparing for your talk or your presentation and your performance, but also that it's likely, you know, one of the things that I discussed was that it's likely that there'll be some limiting beliefs that are holding you back in that area because you have a fear of being judged. I have an online course where I teamed up with a leading hypnotherapist who's recorded hypnosis downloads, which retrain your subconscious mind to feel more confident. And I just mention that because I think we're all becoming so much more aware of the power of the subconscious mind and just how that links to addiction and to behavior change. And my guest this week absolutely supports all of that. Another Hay House, fellow Hay House author, Elsa Frank. Now, Elsa Frank is a hypnotherapist, a motivational keynote speaker, and author of a great book, Cut the Crap and Feel Amazing, which does exactly what it says on the tin. She's already helped thousands of people improve their lives, and she works with a whole host of topics, alcohol, of course, but also stress, relationships, anxiety, depression. Interestingly, before qualifying as a hypnotherapist, Elsa worked as a recipe writer and a food stylist, but her journey into hypnotherapy came as a result of being really impressed by its effectiveness when her own life kind of fell apart during a divorce in 2002. She lost custody of her 10-year-old daughter following a mental breakdown, and then in 2005 retrained as a hypnotherapist, and now she's able to help other people build a positive life. So welcome to my guest. I think you're going to learn a lot.
Hi and welcome. Really, really pleased that my guest today is Elsa Frank, author of the fantastic book Cut the Crap and Feel Amazing, fellow Hay House author. Welcome, Elsa. It's lovely to chat with you.
Yes, hi Jenny. It's great to speak to you.
I love the work that you do because in addition to the book, you have lots of amazing downloads and you help people with all kinds of things, but including their drinking habits. And you've been doing that for 13 years. So you're a hypnotherapist, effectively. Tell us a little bit about your background and you know how you got involved in this work.
Well, I retrained back in 2005 to be a hypnotherapist. And when I did that, I had no idea I was going to help people with drinking, but that just kind of came from doing that training. And I basically had a change of direction in my own career, found hypnotherapy very, very useful because you can actually target specific issues in your life and work directly on those. So I found it really fantastic. And then ended up doing art therapy, different various therapies, but then came back to the hypnotherapy and ended up training to become a hypnotherapist. Mm. And once I trained, I never really looked back, to be honest, because it was so fantastic. People can come along with a particular issue, you know, maybe a confidence issue or a weight problem or a drinking problem, and actually you can work directly on those issues. So I really loved it from that point of view. And it's also very creative. You know, you can work on all different topics and lots of different techniques and tips as well. So,
yeah, I mean, let's just describe it, you know, what it really is, because there will still be some people maybe new to it who are kind of thinking, oh, isn't that the stage hypnotist stuff, you know, where you tell someone to sit and bake beans, you know, and of course, it's very different from that. But just explain how it does work.
Well, everything we do is a habit and a pattern. So once we've learnt that habit and pattern, it becomes stored in the subconscious mind. So for instance, learning to tie your shoelaces, when you try to do that in the beginning, it's difficult. But once you've learnt it, you then put it in your subconscious and you just automatically tie your shoelaces while you're thinking about where you're going to go. And the same with driving a car. Once you've learnt to do it, it becomes a subconscious automatic habit. So what happens is all our memories, all our experiences become stored in the subconscious. And then when you try to change those, it's difficult to do that because it's become part of who you are. So the hypnotherapy allows you to access that deep part of the mind and break the drinking habits, break the low self-esteem habits, break the eating habits, release cravings and things, because it's all coming from that deeper part. So it's just like a window into the deep part of your mind to be able to allow you to make those changes. So,
And when it comes to things like addictions, I mean, you know, they can be quite complex, can't they? Because there can be lots of different layers and reasons, if you like, as to why we become addicted. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? How do you see it in terms of how the brain works?
Well, I think we're being programmed the whole time. So we live in a drinking culture. So from a young age, we're starting to be programmed with drinking being quite a normal thing. Obviously, people are brought up with families who maybe drink, and also, you know, social drinking, and also people who are, you know, drinking a lot with work. So everything is a kind of message subliminally going into your mind, and it starts to program you that drinking is very normal. Also, everything you do around the drinking becomes, you know, a habit that becomes ingrained. So if you use alcohol to cope when you're stressed, then that becomes a habit. And then actually you don't deal with your stress. You just turn to the drink to cope with the stress. If the children are driving people mad, or, you know, they've got problems with their in-laws, instead of actually addressing those problems, people just start to drink. And everything is a habit and a program. So then actually you find that you haven't got the ability to sort out problems because your coping mechanism is just to go and drink. So it's this ongoing process of programming yourself, not just with the actual alcohol and the taste and the cravings, and obviously there's chemicals and there's an addictive element, but it's everything that you associate your life with around the drinking. So if you feel that having a glass of wine is going to make you feel better at 7 o'clock when you've had a hard day, you start to become programmed that that's what you need at that time. So everything is really a massive, massive habit that you're forming. And then that's why it's quite hard to break it. If people decide on a Monday, you know, I'm not going to drink tonight. Well, actually there's about a million things that are going on that are making you drink. So, and sort of locked in, really.
And particularly because, you know, our culture, the society that we live in, backs up all of those thoughts, doesn't it? Of course, you know, we're all told that, well, in fact, the whole mummy and wine industry is phenomenal, isn't it? Every fridge magnet you see, you know, everywhere you look, alcohol is everywhere. And it's very much associated with, you know, socializing and relationships. So I suppose, you know, over time, you're having to go against the grain, if you like. That's why it's hard, I suppose. At the beginning, it's really very difficult because you really have got to retrain your brain against all those messages that are bombarding you from, well, not just from your own brain, but from society, I suppose.
Yes, that's the thing. And, you know, a lot of people think it's quite weird if you don't drink. I had a client once who was at a wedding, and there was one guy who didn't drink at the table. And when he went off to the toilet, everybody was saying, how weird, he's really strange, what's wrong with him? And actually, the guy was a teacher. So I found that really bizarre, that actually, wouldn't you want a teacher to not drink? And they actually thought it was weirder having a teacher who didn't drink than having a teacher who did drink. And I think that's the thing, that it's just, people think if you don't drink, there's something wrong. But actually, drinking is really supposed to be just in moderation. You know, like the French, they just have a glass of wine. But I think we all thought we were going to be French, having a glass on a weekday with a meal. But with the British culture, that just built up from one glass to half a bottle to a bottle, maybe a bottle and a half even a night. And a lot of the clients I have, they, you know, they drink at least a bottle of wine a night, I would say, probably a bottle and a half, a lot of them, and sometimes two on a weekend. So, but it's just crept up. And it is that message everywhere, you know, adverts, kitchen adverts, sofa adverts. As you say, you know, the fridge magnets and all the cushions saying, you know, have a Prosecco or whatever, you know. And I think, so it's just learning to understand that it isn't normal and we are in a bit of a bubble. And to step outside the bubble and look at other countries, because they don't drink in the same way as we do. Obviously, some countries drink in the British way, but you know, it's starting to see that you can enjoy alcohol, but just more socially in a minimal way, rather than it being, you know, the whole big picture of going out. You know, people think if they can't have a drink, they can't have fun, but it's not true at all. So it's just trying to get everything into balance, really, and by recognizing. You know, that it isn't normal to drink so much, I think it's really important to then, you know, be able to start to rein back from that and start to have drink-free nights, switch drinks as well, try to drink different things, you know, adding sparkling water into a wine, just to give you a different behaviour, because it's about reprogramming what you're doing in your week.
So I think what you're really talking about here is what, you know, a lot of people now refer to as mindful drinking. You know, they're mindful about how much they're going to drink and what they're going to drink. And as you say, you know, recognizing that it's not normal just to be pouring wine on your head constantly and actually moderating, I suppose. But I do also believe that there are a whole bunch of people who can't moderate. And actually, it's far easier just to quit altogether. I mean, personally, I don't have an off switch. There is not an off switch within me. So moderation doesn't work for me. My husband does have an off switch. He doesn't need to think about booze. He can have some booze and then not think about it for weeks, and it just literally won't come into his mind. But for me, I don't have an off switch. And I think one of the factors that I don't think I'd realized until about a year ago. I mean, I must have known. How can I not have known? But I don't think I really got just how addictive alcohol is. So I know you touched on it, but you know, in addition to this this behavioral thing that's going on in your brain, to these really deep-rooted patterns of behavior, in addition to that, you've got the fact that alcohol as a substance is incredibly addictive. You know, we wouldn't be having this same conversation if it was, you know, just that I really fancied bananas. You know, we wouldn't be having the same conversation, would we?
No, exactly. Yeah, there is that addictive element. So, but the difference I find with using hypnotherapy to change someone's drinking is that you can actually change the feelings on a subconscious level. so that you don't crave the alcohol, so that you have a different relationship with the alcohol. So a lot of my clients, they don't want to stop altogether, but they feel they can't, you know, have that moderation. But once the relationship with the alcohol starts to change in the subconscious, actually, you start to see it more like, you know, having a glass of orange or something, where you might have one, but you're not going to have a whole carton of orange, obviously. So the relationship starts to change. And it gets you into a place where you can sort of take it or leave it. And that's what I use the hypnotherapy for, to get into that place. But there are some clients I've had over the years that do prefer to stop. And also many of them go on to stop anyway, because once the need for the alcohol's gone, then actually they don't really need it so much, you know, so they then have a more, maybe I will, maybe I won't, actually I won't bother. Mm. So it comes like that. A bit like when you've had a cup of tea and then someone offers you a cup of tea and you just don't fancy it. So the thing with giving up with hypnotherapy is that you don't have that craving problem. Or, you know, if you're on a diet and you can't eat cake and maybe cake's your thing, you're constantly thinking about the cake. When you give up with hypnotherapy, it just becomes something that you may or may not have and you're not really bothered about it. So it becomes easier to let go. But there is a massive addictive element. And the other thing is that if people have a life crisis, that's where they might turn to more alcohol, and then it can become a serious problem. So it's about reining it back in and getting to a point where you don't really need the alcohol. And if you have it, it's more like a spice, like a chili that you might add to a recipe to enhance a meal, but you wouldn't eat a whole jar of chili. So I think, you know, the alcohol being something, if someone does have it, that they're just enhancing a meal, maybe choosing a particular wine to match a particular dish in a restaurant, but not having it as just being, let's just drink, you know, that bottle because we can. But it's all about changing the cravings, the taste buds, detoxing from the alcohol as well, and changing all the routines around it.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the cravings and the, you know, the sort of physical withdrawal, you know, we know that you know, alcohol is withdrawn from the body within, I don't know, sort of at least 10 days, isn't it? You know, when you first stop, if you kind of detox, there isn't really a physical thing going on, but there is a lot of physical stuff going on. People often find they, you know, in the beginning, they can't sleep. They, you know, they've got tummy problems. There's all sorts of stuff happens. But once one's body has, you know, isn't physically craving it, it is all just about what's in your head, isn't it? It's just about the emotional side of it. So it's very much then about changing that mindset. I'm not even sure what my question is, but I mean, would you agree that after the physical craving is gone, it then just becomes about what you're used to? Because I suppose emotionally, you're kind of craving that that dopamine hit, which makes you feel good, or makes you feel perhaps confident in a social setting where maybe you're nervous.
I think the thing is that when you're drinking, you're putting a lot of film of message into your mind, of thoughts of what you're doing. So it's somebody invites you out and you're going out for the evening, and before you go, you're thinking about having a glass of wine and having fun or whatever. So once you've stopped that and you've got over the craving side of things, people still have that film almost in their head sometimes of, even if they're not aware of it, that there's that memory of the fun that drinking had. So what I would say for that is to get fully over, so you're not completely, you know, still having some behavior towards alcohol, is to start to visualize old times that you used to drink, but imagine that you weren't drinking at those times, but you were still having fun. And what that does is reframing an old memory, and that will help you to release that film from your mind, because partly once you're over the craving, you've still got that film running in your mind that is quite likely, if you do have a glass of wine or a drink, it can take you straight back to drinking more. Even more than maybe before you drank. So a way of getting over drinking long-term is to actually reframe those old memories. So just thinking back to, say you're invited out with a group of friends, thinking back to the last time you saw them when you were drinking, but imagine that you met them, you had great fun, and you weren't drinking.
Yeah.
So you're starting to overlay all your old memories of what your behavior used to be. And this will actually help you to make long-term changes, because otherwise if you have a drink, they'll slip straight back into it. And that craving can quickly come back as well when you drink again, if you drink again.
Yeah.
So actually reframing your whole life, even as a teenager where you started drinking, for most people, actually imagine being a teen, really confident, without drink, and being the one in the crowd to go, do you know what, I don't need a drink. And you can just do that sort of visualization. And then that means when you do go out, you've got an old film in your mind, and your mind is a whole load of memories as well. So that will overlay an old memory. And also before you go out, I would say as well, imagine you're coming back from an event, smiling, brushing your teeth, taking your makeup off, and you've had a great time without alcohol. And that should help to make you long, help you to make the longer term changes.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's all about those associations. I remember reading that Annie Grace, the author of This Naked Mind, did her own experiment, actually. I don't know if you saw this, but she actually did an experiment where she filmed herself on her own drinking alcohol. And it was fascinating because, you know, without the social situation around it, it was absolutely miserable. She was actually really shocked when she eventually watched the footage back at just how, you know, disconcerting it was. She just slurred her words and looked terrible and obviously felt terrible and became more and more anxious. And without all everything around it, it was exposed for what it is, which is just a drug, really. You know, it was a, I'm not suggesting anyone else tries that exercise necessarily, but it was very interesting. Just tell me about the work you do, because I'm guessing that you people obviously can come to you for hypnotherapy, but you also have these really, really helpful downloads. So tell us how they work, you know, whether it's possible to effectively, hypnotize ourselves, or is that not the expression?
Yes, well, it's self-hypnosis. It's a recording that you can listen to in the privacy of your own home. And obviously, because drinking can be a sensitive issue, it shouldn't be, because if you're trying to stop drinking, it should be a positive. Mm. But a lot of people don't like to admit that they were drinking.
We keep it a secret. Many of us keep it a secret for a long time.
Exactly. You'd be surprised how many people keep it a secret. I have clients all over the place from every walk of life, you know, from doctors that are preaching to be healthy, but actually secretly they're drinking, or policemen who are stopping people for drink driving, but secretly thinking they might be over the limit themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a big, big issue. But what I would say is just, with the downloads, you can just download them onto your phone. You can listen at bedtime, and the tracks will just talk you through all the changes. They do cover everything in your life. So work stresses, all different things. So it's breaking the habits on a very deep level.
Yeah.
You need to listen to them regularly. So it might be over sort of 2 to 3 weeks every day. And then after that, I would use them as a maintenance until you've really made all the changes. And the recordings will help you to give up in a very balanced way. So you might start to notice that you're just pouring a glass, but then not drinking it. Or having a glass and then sipping half of it and then pouring the rest down the sink. It starts to get you to just change your relationship. Or sometimes people will just realize 3 days went by and they never even thought about drinking.
Yeah, so it kind of changes your subconscious mind, really. It works on at a deeper level than just hearing the facts, as it were.
Yeah, it does. And actually, so people, it's almost like a massage through your mind. So it softens all your behavior towards the drinking and all your thinking towards it. So actually it becomes less important. It's a bit like, you know, if you have a pain in your shoulder and someone massages it, it starts to loosen up. And that's what starts to happen with the hypnotherapy. The messages start to loosen up your thinking throughout your mind. Mm. And then start to just become that person. And also, it's very important to give up in a balanced way. You know, not to, if you're drinking 2 bottles, then go to nothing overnight, because that might not be good for your body to cope with.
Yeah.
So it allows you to do it safely.
Yeah, yeah. So just for example, your download, Take Control of Alcohol. How long is the actual audio? And how long would we have to? How many days, if you like, or weeks would you suggest people listen to it? You know, daily.
Yeah. Well, the first track's about 20 minutes, the second track's about 10 minutes. So you can listen to both tracks, or you can just alternate them on different days. And as I say, about sort of 2 to 3 weeks every day doing something. And then after that, just using it as a maintenance. I mean, some people make all the changes in a few days. Some people it will take a month or two. But it's also a very good track too, the short one, for a daily relaxation.
Yeah.
Because actually part of drinking is the pressure of life stacks up, and eventually people need a drink to relax. So by doing a daily relaxation, or even just doing it a few times a week once you're in control, 10 minutes, that keeps you relaxed. And then I do have other recordings that you can move on to as well.
Yeah.
But I did another one, the Stop Binge Drinking, which is, that one's for more bouts of drinking, whereas the Take Control is very much for that every day or almost every day where you can't break the habit of the drinking. So that one's sort of for every day, and the other one's more for, you know, social bouts of binge drinking.
It must be absolutely amazing for you, because you must have found that you've got, you know, people whose lives you've completely changed. You must get that all the time, you know, sort of testimonials from people that say, oh, listen to this, and oh, man, I'm okay. It must be great.
I get emails from people all over the world, and that's partly why I did the download, so I could reach out to a bigger audience.
Yeah.
People will say, I've been drinking for 40 years, I listened to your recording, it's changed my life. You know, my relationships improve, because a lot of people's relationships are in tatters because of their drinking.
Yeah.
You know, work's improved, all different things. Relationship with the children has improved as well, because a lot of children struggle with their parents drinking.
Absolutely. And a lot of women feel they're not present for their kids. They finally, you know, they realize actually they're thinking about the booze all the time. You know, when can I get the kids down to sleep so I can go and drink? It can be constant. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
And a lot of, you know, parents, they're drinking even when they're doing the bath time, you know, they have a glass of wine on the side. So I absolutely love what I do. It's so rewarding, because it's so easy for me to help someone change that drinking. And it could be something that could take them years of stopping and starting and trying. And a lot of my clients have tried, you know, for a long, long time to stop, and they've never actually got through, you know, a week of not drinking. But once they do the session, actually the sessions are more direct. When you have a direct session with me, you start to see the changes very, very quickly. Most people have 2 to 4 appointments, and I do those over the phone. I do have clients all over the world, so people check in with me for that. So
brilliant.
And I didn't set out to do the alcohol. I set up as a hypnotherapist, and then I found that every client practically said, actually. So what I started doing was dealing with all their pressures, their stresses, using the hypnotherapy for that, getting them the jobs they wanted to get, because you use hypnotherapy for confidence and for believing you can get the right job for you. And often, you know, for women as well, they have great careers, and then when they have kids, it's very hard to juggle it all together. So so I help women to improve their lives, and men as well, obviously. You know, dads are under more pressure as well. And companies put more pressure on their employees these days. So it's about, you know, changing every part of their lives, getting themselves in a really good place, and then releasing that craving, you know, using the hypnotherapy. So
yeah, excellent. There's a book as well. If anyone's watching this on the video, here's the book, Cut the Crap and Feel Amazing. Great, great book. You know, real lots of information in here. So, you know, this is another really great thing to grab hold of. Elsa, just tell us your website then, where people can find you.
So it's elsafrank.com. And you can look there. There's lots of films and information on drinking and how hypnosis can help. I've also got a blog on my website as well. And that's A-I-L-S-A, Frank, F-R-A-N-K.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes as well. Elsa, thank you so much. It's absolutely excellent to talk to you, and carry on with all the great work that you're doing. And we'll speak soon. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Elsa. I hope that was helpful. She shared another self-care tip as well for anyone struggling with trying to ditch the booze. And this just follows on from a lot of the self-care things we've been talking about. She suggests that you can turn your home into a spa hotel. You don't have to be able to go anywhere or check in anywhere. Just put some calm music on, have a lovely warm bath, a herbal tea, make sure you have a couple of early nights. If you want to invite friends round, invite them round for a spa night, but serve alcohol-free mocktails. Lots and lots of great recipes for alcohol-free mocktails, by the way. Some on my site, but you can just Google it. You'll find absolutely masses. And of course, on the Club Soda website, there's lots of information about great alcohol-free mocktails and alcohol-free drinks. And still with the theme of self-care and self-love and kindness, I'm really pleased to announce that I'm going to be bringing in for interview Sharu Azadi, a behavioural change specialist. She's had oodles of experience in mental health and anxiety, and her excellent book is called The Kindness Method. And I've also lined up some great tips for fitness and nutrition from a personal trainer, Molly Millington. Because, you know, lots of people, when they stop drinking, turn to exercise. That becomes their new addiction. Sadly, that one hasn't happened for me yet. I have said before, I didn't actually get the amazing energy buzz that some people get when they stop drinking, you know, leaping out of bed at 5 a.m. and cleaning the house. But I guess we're all different. And Molly has got some manageable ways of fitting exercise into your life. I did notice, by the way, just briefly, there was a piece in one of the newspapers, one of the UK newspapers this week. The headline was "Think Happy Thoughts, It's Good for Your Heart." And it was a piece saying that positive, I'm just looking at it now, positive introspection, they say, can slow heart rates, scientists have found, following a study which saw researchers from Exeter and Oxford universities play audio instructions to students. Some were encouraged to practice self-compassion and be kind to themselves, and others were told to be more self-critical. And surprise, surprise, those given the kinder instructions told researchers that they felt more confident and compassionate towards others, and their heart rates were lower than the other participants. Well, we know this stuff, don't we? It's incredible, isn't it? Well, how the media kind of pop up with these studies that have been underlined by scientists as if it's all completely new. And we've known this for a long time. But if you're someone who does like to have stuff underlined by science, well, there you go. It's all there for you now. Now, I'll have to stop saying the podcast is new because we are a few episodes in, but it still feels kind of new. So I would really appreciate it if you're enjoying it, if you'd share and rate and review it. It does make a huge difference. And do please share those self-care tips and your stories. And thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Jamie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.